Yeah, it's that time of the week, and we haven't got Sally today. We've got Barry back.
No, Sally Havfalia is back next week.
So you're going to grace us with your presence this week?
I am.
Barry Warwick, where are we going today?
Well, I thought we'd start off with Singapore because it's about an 8-hour trip, mm-hmm. so it's nice and close.
Nice and close. And anywhere else today?
Look, I thought I might give tips and tricks on aircraft seating, etc., in the second part. So
Sounds good. And then we'll have some hot deals. You can talk the travel and I will listen. And we're going to Singapore.
Okay. Yeah, look, I thought Singapore's that 8 hours away. So it's not a long plane trip. And it's certainly a destination with lots to offer just about anyone who has any interest. You know, if you're into war, you know, memorials and that, you've got Changi with its, obviously it's World War II history. You've got food, so most people are into food. It's got fantastic hawker centres. So the hawker centres offer a variety of food, and they're now a Michelin-rated hawker centres in Singapore.
I'm going to ask a stupid question, but what's a hawker centre?
Okay. A hawker centre is basically street food.
Right, okay. I thought it might be, but I just wanted to check.
And so Singapore's a great melting pot, but obviously the main population is Indian, Chinese and Malays. So you've got three great types of food and lots of variety. And when you go to a hawker centre, there are just, you know,
too many choices.
Too many choices, that's right. And look, it's safe to eat, it's clean, and there are hawker centres dotted all over the place. There's at least 15 Michelin rated hawker centres. So, you know, it'll take a few days to just work through those.
So what's the pricing like as far as hawker centres go and meals?
The local population tend to eat out, and so hawker centres are very economical. You know, you've got your good restaurants and you've got your high-end restaurants. You've got your takeaways like McDonald's, et cetera, as well. But the hawker centres sort of give you real food and at an economical price. So if you're prepared to do a little bit of,
taste testing?
Taste testing, exactly. It's really the way to go. And, you know, if one of the party that you're travelling with likes Indian and you like Chinese and someone else likes Malay, you can have all three types in the same place.
Yeah, it's like going to a giant food court.
Exactly.
But better.
But much, much better.
All right. Other than the food, what else
have
you got?
Other than the food, look, you've got some great attraction like Gardens by the Bay, and that's something that it's a really nice experience to go. You've got these artificial trees with a bright lights are good at night, good to see. You've got Singapore Zoo, which has always been famous for a great place to visit, and you can have breakfast with the orangutans there as long as you pre-book. You've got it's Bird World, I think it's now called, and it's about 5 hectares of just aviaries, but you're actually in the aviary.
Oh, so you can walk through and see all the birds.
Yeah, in a more natural environment. So, and it's something that's really fantastic.
Can you feed the birds? That could get a bit messy if you've got like 5,000 birds and you've just got one handful of seeds.
Exactly. Look, I'm sure that you can. I haven't been there for a little while, but you know, just seeing the variety of different birds is an amazing thing. And they do have a bird show. They actually have the Birds of Prey bird show. So something well worth seeing and going to, and a little bit different.
Lovely.
Apart from that, they've got some great walks, and the they've got a walk, I think it's about 10 kilometres, that actually joins five different parks together. So, again.
So take your walking shoes.
Yep. For those that like exercise, even if it is in the heat, they've got fantastic orchid garden, or there's the botanic garden that has an amazing orchid display. So, yeah, I think something a little bit for everyone, as well as shopping, of course.
Of course. And we all love shopping. Well,
we do. Yeah.
You know, I don't like shopping, but I like shopping when I'm overseas because it's nice to see what other people have.
That's right. And it's always different. There's always that variation.
Yeah. And if you're a born tourist like me, there's probably souvenirs galore.
There is.
There is. Yeah. All right. Well, that's Singapore. Have you got any more for us, or we'll go?
Yeah. Look, I thought I'd just run through. I didn't get to say what children can actually do in Singapore.
Oh, yes, because we need to keep the kids busy, that's for sure.
We certainly do. And what's a holiday if you don't take your kids or grandkids there?
So a quiet and relaxing one, maybe?
Very, yeah. But, look, Sentosa Island, it's the home of Universal Studios. So kids that have they're into Transformers, there's a Transformer ride there. Look, it also has an aquarium that has 100,000 marine creatures and 49 different habitats.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Well. So, again, something to keep the kids really enthralled. There's also a sky park. It's got a 75-metre high zip lines for the older kids that are a little bit more adventurous. And it's also got what place would be without a water park? So in a nice tropical setting, a water park is ideal.
Perfect.
So something for all the kids. And look, if the kids aren't happy with Universal Studios and all of those other things, an hour up the road in Malaysia, just across the causeway, is Legoland. So
I'd go to Legoland. Don't worry about the kids.
That's it. And I guess most of the people, a lot of adults I know, are Lego enthusiasts and Lego mad. So, again, a good reason to visit Singapore is just to have a little bit of time with the building blocks.
Yes, that sounds great. All right. What have you got next for us?
Look, I thought I'd also mention a little bit about aircraft, and you just really need to read the fine print on the fares that you're buying, because there are so many rules and regulations, and it's something that we tend to skip. So, you know, a business class traveller, you would, I guess, expect to be able to cancel with relatively few fees. You get access to the lounge. You get to select your seat, and that's not always the case anymore. So some of the airlines are now introducing additional fees to visit the lounge. You pay a cheaper fare, but then suddenly you get hit with the add-on of paying so much if you want to get to the lounge, or you just can't get to the lounge at all. You pay for the seat, so rather than being able to select the seat, there's a cost attributed to it. And a lot of them now are becoming non-refundable. So while you can change them, and there's always a fee to change them, it just does become, a little bit onerous for the person if they think that they're going and suddenly something happens and they want to cancel. There's $10,000, $11,000, or $12,000 just gone down the drain.
Maybe that's another reason to have insurance as well.
Well, it is, but insurance doesn't cover everything. And so, you know, if you've got, particularly if you've got elderly parents that are unwell, a lot of the insurances won't cover if something happens to them. So you've just got to be a little bit careful. Mm. There are a lot of business class fares out there that do have reasonable fees. The other thing that you will find with fares is that they have different levels. So, for example, in economy, there might be 12 different levels of fares, and they range from perhaps non-refundable to a fee. Some of them allow you to pick seats free if you pay a high enough fare. If you don't pay a high enough fare, you've got to pay for seats.
You pay more for luggage.
You pay more for luggage, yeah, exactly. And that can be a catch too. You think, oh, yeah, luggage should be included with this, particularly if it's a long haul. For example, LATAM Airlines to South America, the first fare that pops up doesn't include any luggage, and that's, well...
That would catch a lot of people.
That's right.
Who doesn't go away without luggage?
Well, I know a few people that travel just with hand luggage, but they're in the minority. Everyone's usually struggling to try and meet the 20 or 23 kilo limit.
Mm.
So, and some of the internal flights within South America, they only take 15 kilos of luggage. So, again, on your international, you may have paid for the 23, but you've got to wind back for the internal flights. Mm,
so always check the fine print.
Always check the fine print.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Barry. We are talking travel and we're talking hot deals, Barry.
Yes, we are. And look, we'll start off in Australia. Look, there's some really great deals with Kimberley, exploring the Kimberleys with Outback Spirit. They've got some large savings, but you must book and pay for it, or book by the 30th of September. So there's a few different types, but it's certainly a pretty area, and maybe combine that with a cruise. See the land portion of the Kimberleys and also the cruise portion of
Lovely.
The Kimberleys. So that's great. Wendy Wu also has some great deals in Asia. So they've got Cambodia and Vietnam that have got savings with Fly Free or 50% off airfares or just a regular saving off the tour. So they've also got that for China, an 8-day one, which is, does the highlights like Beijing and Shanghai and Xi'an. So hitting the highlights of China. And Japan, which is always a very, very popular one.
That's a new Bali, isn't it? Everyone's going there.
Oh, it certainly is. I just cannot believe how many people want to go to Japan. And it's good value. It really is good value. So, and look, Trafalgar have just launched, for those that are used to Trafalgar in Europe, a great Korea one. So that's close to Japan. So maybe combine a Japan and Korea at the same time. And with the cruises, Princess have got some great onboard credit, spending credits, which you've got to book by the 5th of November to take advantage of them. But if you're looking at a cruise, why not have a look at that?
Sounds good.
All right. I think that winds us up for the hot deals for the week.
Lots of hot deals. And any that have to be booked very quickly?
I try to give a little bit of time. Most of the 30th of September is probably, it gives time for people to have a think about it rather than be forced into buying, I'll grab that and then regret it.
That's right, yeah. And always plenty of time so you can book for next year.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Barry, and we'll catch up with Sally next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.